Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. How are you?
I'm fine. Everything is great. You know, I was watching. Did you see the protesters, Bill, over the last couple of days? They were, I guess, pro-Hamas protesters who decided to block, thoroughfares to airports and things like that.
Yeah,
the Golden Gate Bridge.
And they got locked up, didn't they? They got locked up.
Well,
or did they?
Well, not really. First of all, if you watch like the Golden Gate Bridge, the police obviously hurried right out to the protesters and then protected the protesters. Honest to God, if you see the video, it looks like the police are standing facing the cars that are backed up for miles, you know? The police are standing there protecting the protesters while they're blocking traffic, and they did it for like hours. And I was thinking, now I know this is crude of me to think of this, okay? But let's say hypothetically, you're in traffic and you go into the office and you could have stopped at that last rest area to go to use the restroom, but you'll be in the office in 15 minutes. All I have to do is go over the Golden Gate Bridge. Okay, and all of a sudden, you come to a complete halt. Maybe the first time in your whole life, you are at a complete standstill on the Golden Gate Bridge. And come to find out, the Hamas demonstrators are doing their demonstrating thing on the Golden Gate Bridge. And the police, of course, they raced right out there and they protected the demonstrators. And you're stuck there in traffic having to go to the bathroom, you know, for like hours. What happens to you? I'm just saying, you know.
Well, you know what? You pee in a cup and throw it at a cop. You know, if that's
well,
what they're going to do.
If it's just pee, well, that's you can deal with that. But some people, it's something more than that. And I would submit that what those people are doing on that bridge deserves an arrest. And because, you know, there are people who may be in an ambulance who have to go to a hospital in San Francisco, and they won't get there.
Yeah, you know, this whole Hamas thing and how certain liberties are being thrown away. You know, I think back just a few years to cancel culture when they were canceling people. And, you know, Biden has said it, well, you know, being a white guy and we're going to be the minority here real soon. Well, that's fine if things happen naturally because this is a country of immigration. But when you come here, you adapt our cultures. But that's not happening. People are coming here. They don't have to learn our ways. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to know what this country is all about. So they come in from a place you're going, I got to escape this place. I don't like it. But they come in with the same values and bring them here. It's like, then America's not America anymore. You're diluting what we are. Not even diluting. It's beyond that. So, you know, you talk about cancel culture. You know, I mean, white people are being canceled. Okay, that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. But America and everything it stands for is now being canceled. And the guy I see that's, you know, waving the flag is a Nazi, and he's waving it on the left side, and that's George Soros. I mean, you look at these Hamas people and the protesters, where are they getting their money to protest?
George Soros.
And who's bailing them out when they go to jail?
George Soros.
So what the hell does that tell you? If you don't see it, you're stupid.
Yeah, what I don't understand is how he just keeps doing this with no consequence. Does it say if you're the richest guy or one of the richest guys in the world, you can do anything you want and there are no consequences? You can do criminal acts and there are no consequences?
So. And, you know, to coin an old cigarette commercial, because somebody will sit there and go, well, you know, he's old. Sooner or later, he's going to kick. Well, he's got a son. And what was that old saying? Like father, like son.
Well, they say his son is actually more dedicated and even more strident, activist than George is. So, but anyway, they were protesting in Seattle, in San Francisco, in Chicago, in New York City on the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, they tried to do it down in Florida. I don't know whether you saw this at the airport. And they would have none of it because, you know, Ron DeSantis is the governor. And literally, they they picked up those protesters like they were sacks of trash and discarded of them, got them off the roadway. There was no long blockage in Florida. But, you know, if you were on the Golden Gate Bridge yesterday, what one of these clowns did is he stuck his arm in a PVC pipe with and there was a piece of rebar in the pipe. He grabbed hold of the PVC, the rebar in the pipe, and so he couldn't be removed from the bridge until some very dedicated police officer finally came over to him and said, "We're going to cut that away." Listen to how this protester reacted.
Ow, 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 ow!
I got it.
Ow!
I got you, I got you.
Ah!
Okay, hold on, by the numbers.
All right, let go of your fingers. Let go.
Let go.
Let go.
Ow, they're twisting it.
Let go.
They're twisting it for no reason.
Let go of the bar.
Let go of the bar.
Let's be medical.
Let go of the bar. Come on, let go.
Let go of the bar.
Stop.
Let go of the bar.
My hand.
Let go of the bar.
Stop squeezing my hand.
Let go of the bar.
Stop squeezing my hand and twisting it. The rebar is cutting the inside of my hand. Stop prying my fingers.
Let go of the bar.
Stop prying. Stop. Stop. Stop.
Let go of the rebar.
Stop. You are hurting me.
Let go.
Understand something. This was a lot of crap on the part of the protester. I watched him do this. I watched him do this, and with all due respect, this guy was—he was doing this for the cameras. He was doing this for the cameras. He had his—he had put his arm in this PVC pipe, and he grabbed a hold of the rebar. So what they did is they literally cut the rebar pipe, and they just removed the rebar, and now he had nothing to hang on to. But he made it sound like they were using an acetylene torch on him, you know. Oh, leave me alone. You're hurting my hand.
Yeah, did you hear what a little pansy girl he was?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. That's what he was, and crying like that. But, you know, it's all optics and everything.
Of course.
And they want to sit there and, you know, make us look bad. They're bad. See, you're
how violent, how vicious.
Now,
yes.
When they come and attack and they have somebody and on the ground, and there's five of them and one of you, they're kicking and beating the hell out of you and kicking your head and stomping you into the ground. Well, you know what? It was a protest because of all the evil things. And even though you didn't do it, you're part of the race. This is a genocide.
Bill, I got a question for you.
Beat the hell out of you.
If Trump supporters went to the Golden Gate Bridge and blocked traffic, what do you think would happen?
Well, that's another insurrection, and who knows?
Yeah.
In San Francisco,
they would have shot him.
Yeah, you would have been shot on sight. Did you have a license to carry that firearm? No, but you're a righty.
But it's
so
okay. Yeah, they shot a Trump supporter. It's no big deal. Unbelievable.
I mean, no, if you're conservative, you know. It's kind of weird. We're in a catch-22. If we do nothing, it all goes to hell in a handbasket. So if we sit there and the left has no problem screaming foul, and if, you know, they sit there and get themselves caught in the dog trap, you know, they're going to scream foul and some other things, you know, because it's all our fault. Whereas when we scream, you know, hey, you know, make noise, you know, they might want to disarm us.
Along those same.
But the other, we're a target.
Along the same lines, let's cut to a year from now, okay? And let's say hypothetically, and I know this is very hypothetical.
Oh, I wanted to go down this road today.
Let's say hypothetically Donald Trump is the president of the United States. And let's say now the roles are reversed. How will the media respond if Donald Trump says, okay, I'm going to put Joe Biden in court. I'm going to try him for treason. We're going to put him in jail. We're going to go after all of his cabinet members. All those criminal judges that you had come after me, the ones that had no evidence, but they didn't need it, you know?
And voters, because you have to be re-educated.
Well, that's true. But let's say the roles are reversed. How do you think the media will respond when the roles are reversed, if he does
what
reverse
media? What media? The media we have now today?
Yeah.
Oh, right. The little whiny script readers that don't know anything about journalism.
Oh, no. No, wait a second. Daddy sent them to journalism school where they learned from the best of the left.
You know what? Yeah, the best of the left. You know, journalism school, by the way, just so you know, if you ever took a degree or took a study in journalism, the book is almost like a encyclopedia, you know, like a Britannica. It's like bigger than the New York phone book of all of, you know,
the do's and don'ts, the
do's
rules.
And don'ts, the rules, everything, and you know, basically protecting free speech and telling you, hey, your opinion doesn't matter. What you're here to do is just report the facts.
That yes.
If you get anything out of it, that's what you get. But no.
But you know what the first thing they teach you in journalism school? Ignore that book. All of those things in that book, don't pay any attention to them.
I thought you were going to say how to identify your pronoun.
Yeah, that's true. But you have to do that first.
And you should have more than one, just so you know.
Journalists of today are not like the journalist of yesteryear. Let's just leave it at that, okay? I mean, I often wonder, do you think we would have journalists out in the battlefield at war? Like in World War II, we had reporters with the frontline units, heck, in the Vietnam War. We had reporters out with the frontline troops shooting video and doing reports from where the bullets were flying, and they were doing their job. Now, when you see coverage from a war zone, it's being covered from the Hilton Hotel balcony, you know, several miles from where the action is. You know, as long as they can still get room service, that's where they are. You know, they're not doing the same kind of journalism that was done, let's say, even 15 or 20 years ago. You know, it's different. It truly is. I think of somebody like Laura Logan, who I think the world of. I don't know her. I have a great deal of respect for her. I think she is part of that old school of journalists who believes in integrity and honesty and decency and fairness. I think that Catherine Herridge is that way, you know. Another journalist who believed in all those things and the left went after and has tried to destroy. You know, in the meantime, we have clowns with no integrity pretending to be reporters and doing a miserable job. You know, Bill, I look at networks like NBC, CBS, and ABC. There was a time in my life when I used to dream about working there. And then there was a time when I actually did work at CBS. And I felt so proud. I felt like I was at the Harvard of broadcasting because I was in New York at a flagship station working on the air, getting a check from CBS. I thought, boy, this can't get any better. I felt like I was around professionals. And, you know, I look at it now, and I see us. I have a friend of mine, Bill, who was an anchor on one of the news stations in New York for years. She was magnificent and a real credit to her profession. And she thinks it's totally different now from what it was like when she was in the business. So, I mean, we could go on and on. But it is not the same profession, unfortunately. But, you know, it hides under that mask. It hides those people who are not giving you the straight scoop. They pretend to be. That's the evil part about it, you know. When you see some network like MSNBC feeding propaganda after propaganda piece, and you think, how can they do this with a straight face? How can they have Jen Psaki? All you have to do, and it started with George Stephanopoulos, folks, when they went over and took the president's right-hand spokesman, Stephanopoulos, and made him an anchor. The guy had never anchored anything, okay? They probably spent weeks training him how to be a news anchor, and they stuck him on television, and all of a sudden he was like the face of the network, and all the other networks followed suit. All of a sudden we had the Joe Scarboroughs and the Mika Brzezinskis.
It's all optics anymore, and you know, it's the people that have the money that can that pull the strings, and you know, the people that are qualified that train for it got shoved aside because we don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear our narrative, and that's what it's all about. And mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a journalist out there, I hope you're having fun working at I don't know,
destroying our country.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, if you're a real journalist, you don't have a job.
Yeah.
You know, you're, you know, do you want fries with that? You know, it's like.
Yeah, that's true. Good journalist, you know, Catherine Herridge testified in front of Congress the week before last, and she said, you know, I lost my job. I lost my health insurance, she said. You know, people don't think about stuff like that. They think, oh, Catherine Herridge, she has to be making millions of dollars, and she doesn't want for anything. But, you know, they're people just like you and I, and some of them don't make quite as much as you think they do, and they do rely on their health insurance and things like that. And all of a sudden, they pull the rug out from underneath them like that. Some weasel in the front end who is a liberal who doesn't like Catherine's politics or the way she presents herself on television, some jealous weasel pulls the plug, and all of a sudden she's stuck. You know, Catherine Herridge is an interesting story, and I won't get into a long dissertation, but when she was at Fox, one of her children, I believe, had either a kidney or a liver. I think it was a kidney problem. She donated, I think, a kidney to her son, or I think it was her son, but one of her children. And, I mean, she did it in Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's how I knew about it. She is, she's an incredibly fine woman. I don't know her, but like, again.
That's not an easy surgery to go through.
No, she did. But, you know, I don't think she hesitated. It was her kid. And
yeah,
she was about,
like,
she was going to do everything she can to give that child a head start in life, you know?
It's like bone marrow. You know, that's what I understand, one of the most painful things. But, you know, you would do anything for your kid, and that's just the way. And, you know, kids, you know, we've all done it. We grow up, we're disrespectful of our parents. Till one day we're a parent going, boy, I sure wish I would have thought a little bit different about things when I was younger, you know, because.
Well, we take our parents for granted. You know, when you're a kid, you look and you think they're always going to be there. Because they're always there for you when you're a kid. You just think that they're always going to be there. It's part of life. I mean, there's mom and there's dad and the rest of the world, you know?
Yeah, you try to do better for your kids than what was done for you. But in the end, you probably, you know, you sit there and go, well, I wish I would have done this or wish I would have done that. They're gonna come along and hopefully, you know, up at a notch. But, you know, in this world today, I don't know. There's so many influences and things that control you. That, you know, the natural progression of life is being interrupted.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that you saw this, Bill. Iran issued another warning to Israel. And essentially what they said is, if you retaliate to what we did to you last weekend, we're going to come back at you heavier and harder and longer. Okay, this is what Iran said to Israel yesterday. It said, we're just going to double down on everything, and it won't be quite the easy attack that we hit you with on Saturday. Now, I was listening to this articulate young woman. She's Iranian by birth. She lives in England, and she was talking about, you know, when you see these Hamas supporters out there on the Golden Gate Bridge and the Brooklyn Bridge and all these places, and they're pro-Hamas and they're pro-Iran, she was saying, you're not doing the Iranian people a favor by supporting the Iran regime because they are not somebody, they're not voted in. They are not democratically voted into power. They just took it and they've held on to it. And you're stuck with them, and they're doing their bidding. They're not doing the bidding of the Iranian people. Listen to what she said.
Hi, Iranian woman here. It's become very apparent that you haven't been listening to anything that we've had to say for the past 2 years. But I was wondering if you could just lend me a few minutes of your time in this ungodly hour to hear us now. We've had to watch over the past 24 hours, people clambering onto the internet to exclaim that Iran has the right to defend itself. In what capacity have you distorted the story to make the Islamic Republic the victim? That's I think what we're most curious about. When we were screaming for the past 2 years that they were lynching us, where were you? When we were screaming that they were killing Iranian women for not wearing a hijab, where were you? When they were lynching Iranian men from cranes for protesting, where were you? When we were explaining that this is a terrorist occupying force, where were you? But all of a sudden, everyone's graduated from Instagram School of Law to say that this is a violation of international law and Iran has the right to defend itself. First of all, you're not talking about Iran, you're talking about the Islamic Republic. What the Islamic Republic does is not a reflection of the Iranian people. We've been clear about what we want, which is peace. Second of all, you may have discovered the Middle East yesterday, but the Middle East didn't start existing yesterday. If you want to talk about an act of war, just a few days ago, a federal court determined that the attacks on Israeli embassies and Jewish centers in Argentina were conducted by the Islamic Republic and Hezbollah. That was in the 90s. That was in the 90s. Was that an act of war? How about the terror proxies that the Islamic Republic has created to foster regional instability? What did you think that they were there for? What did you think Hezbollah was there for? Hamas, Houthis, their militia groups in Iraq and Syria. Did you think that they were there to instigate a system of public schooling, education, to feed the poor, house the unhoused? What did you think that they were there for? Is that an act of war? Was October 7th an act of war? Are the rockets that Hezbollah fires into northern Israel on a near daily basis an act of war? And so when these senior IRGC commanders meet up with Hezbollah in an IRGC military base, okay, not an Iranian embassy, and Israel strikes, your response is to say that that is an act of war. If you had listened to us for the past 2 years, much less the past 45 years, you'd know that Iranians don't want war with Israel. We want peace with Israel. Iranian people inside of Iran have come out and said this over and over and over again. It's you that wants war with Israel. It's your hatred for Israel and your hatred for Jews that's pulling us into a war that we didn't ask for. Have we not suffered enough for the past 45 years that we now have to be used as pawns for your fantasies about war with Israel? Leave us alone. We don't want that. So if you want to support the Islamic Republic in putting Iranians' lives at risk and everyone's lives at risk, they just killed a 10-year-old Bedouin boy for this. Is that what you wanted? Then just come out and say that with your whole chest. Say you support the Islamic Republic in their continued aggressions that put everybody's lives at risk. But don't say Iran. For 2 years, we asked you to come out and say free Iran. And now you want to speak up to put our lives at risk and say go to war, Iran. You are no friend to the Iranian people for that.
That's Elisa Laban, a British-born Iranian attorney and activist. And she's a very articulate young woman. And that's the audio to a video she did. That video did 3 million views in less than 24 hours. 3 million views. Did she strike a chord?
Attention. Yeah, she did.
Yeah. You know, I grew up at a time when Iran was very democratic, kind of. It was actually a tourist attraction. The Shah of Iran was kind of a glamorous royal figure, and the people lived well. There were no hijabs, there were no walking around covering your head and your face and stuff. It was a kind of a westernized jewel in the Middle East. And right. Then Jimmy Carter came into office, and Jimmy Carter turned his back on the Shah, and the Shah had to literally escape with his hide. He literally hightailed it out of Iran, because if he didn't, he would have been strung up and killed by the extremists. And he had, you know, he didn't have the support anymore of the United States, and they took over. And we had the Ayatollah Khomeini. And you know what they did with the embassy there for 444 days? They took our people hostage and spit in our face. And, of course, that feckless president sent in helicopters with no long-term strategy. He sent them right into the middle of a sandstorm, and they ended up getting in crashing. And I think there were 8 U.S. service people who were killed. I mean, they didn't care about long-term. You know, that Democrats, I'm sorry to say this, leftists, they don't think long-term. They think short-term about most everything, how it affects me and us, you know.
You know, it's really amazing. You got Carter that was a military commander, and he was a big F-up. And we've got military commanders now that have been put in place, and they've done nothing but screw up. Kind of makes you wonder what we're fostering.
Carter was, I believe he was on nuclear submarines.
He wasn't a
guy in the middle of combat. He really and truly, remember when he was sworn into office and he didn't want to ride in the limo because he wanted to be one of the people. He wanted to walk the street, you know.
He's a peanut farmer, so there you go.
They truly set a tone that has been carried on by a lot of Democratic presidents since then. I mean, look at Barack Obama. Barack Obama has, he has turned his back. The people in Iran, do you remember this? About 8 years ago, they were demonstrating in the streets. They were screaming for independence in the streets. They were yelling, "America, it's our time. Help us, support us, and back us." And Obama did nothing. He did absolutely nothing.
And why are we doing that? You know, going back to the Carter years up to the Obama years, why are we turning our back on that when people, you know, going, "Hey, it's our time. We need your help."
It's because I truly believe that a guy like Obama has more in common with the regimes than he does with the people who want independence and democracy. I don't think he's the, you know, when he got up on stage just before he was elected and said we're just days away from fundamentally changing the United States as we know it, he wasn't kidding. That wasn't a form of speech. He meant every word of it. He meant it exactly as he said.
Yeah. Well, you know, it gets back to the commodity that Iran brings to the table. And what would that be? I'm wondering. Oil?
Well, I think Iran brings terrorism to the table.
Well, they do now. Yeah, they bring terrorism to the table. But there had to be a reason, a backdoor reason for us to do what we did. But the reason might not be as nice as what you think it is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Well, I don't think much of what Iran does right now is nice. I haven't thought much of Iran's government since 1979, but that's just
me. I haven't either. It's been a bad government.
Joe Biden was in your neck of the woods yesterday. Did you hear about this?
Only because they shut down the airport, they shut down the roads. They go, "What the hell's going on?" They're going, "Oh, Biden's in town." I'm going, "What for?" Well, I guess he had to fondle some kids.
We laugh at something like that, but the photo op of him at his, I guess, in front of his home, his old homestead, was Joe holding the hands of a bunch of 10-year-olds, and I thought, "Mike, you got to be kidding me." This guy, you would think somebody would say, "Mr. President, those optics aren't great for you." I mean, you know, they call you a child sniffing, hair sniffing president. They've made comments about how you treat children. We think that maybe when you're here, you should look diplomatic and presidential. This guy comes out, you would think he was doing an episode of Romper Room. He comes walking out from the side of the house. There are about 8 kids that he's holding hands with. He's in the center, and the kids are flanking him. You expected them to skip out, okay? It was this ridiculous. And he didn't look presidential in the least. He looked ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Somebody should have said, "Mr. President, that's not a great optic. Let's do something else." And if they did and he said, "No, I'm doing this," then that'll give you an idea of where his head is at. Josh Hawley was in a hearing yesterday, talking with one of President Biden's, one of his secretaries, Jennifer Granholm. And, you know, she got caught lying to Congress, to the Senate. And Josh Hawley was having nothing of it. Apparently, she had testified under oath that she had gotten rid of, divested herself of all of her stocks. And then the Senate found out that's not true.
When you were here last, I talked with you about the fact that more than 130 officials in the Energy Department reported more than 2,700 trades of shares, bonds, and options in companies that ethics officers said was directly related to the agency's work. This is institutionalized corruption. And I asked you point blank, do you own any individual stock? And you told me, no. Let's just look at it. It was not a difficult question. Do you own individual stocks, Madam Secretary? You said no. In fact, you repeated it three times to me. No, no, no. Turns out that was false. You did own multiple individual stocks, and you neglected to report it to this committee for months afterwards. Why did you mislead this committee?
Oh, my goodness.
That was exactly my response. So why did you mislead this committee?
I believed that I had sold all individual stocks, and I was incorrect. So I came back.
You just don't know your portfolio?
Pretty much.
It's a big one, I guess, huh?
No, it's extremely small.
Apparently not. Someone manages it for you?
So I came back as soon as I found out that, in fact, I had not sold all individuals.
Wait. No, that's not true either. Let's just look at the timeline. I just remind you, you're under oath. Madam Secretary, you testified you didn't own any individual stocks. You didn't sell the stocks for a whole nother month. And after you sold the stocks, you waited another month before you informed this committee. Why did you mislead us, and what were you hiding? Why did you wait so long? Why did you hide this?
I did not hide it because I brought it forth to the committee when I realized that we had made a mistake.
Really? What explains the delay? Why did you wait for a full month to explain your actions to this committee, your false testimony?
That's less than a month, and I sent a letter explaining what had happened.
May the 15th to June the 9th.
Because I owned a Ford stock that was...
You misled this committee, and you wait. What were the stocks? What were the stocks that you owned?
It was a Ford stock that my husband had owned since he was very young, and I just was not aware of it.
And what were the others? You sold six stocks. What were the other five?
I sold non-conflicting stocks.
What were they?
I don't even know. I do know they're Ford One because that was a conflict.
You don't.
That's why I raised this.
You're here before this committee a year later after actively misleading to us, after denying and delaying and delaying, and now you won't tell us. Was one of them Proterra?
No.
You sat on the board of directors at Proterra. You made millions, CNN reports, and stock options at Proterra. Then you promoted Proterra stock and Proterra products as energy secretary.
Sure.
Was that one of the stocks that you sold?
This is so... I mean, really.
Was that one of the stocks that you sold? Yes,
no,
really.
No.
You were presiding over institutionalized corruption in your energy department. You have violated the Stock Act nine separate times. You have been referred by the Inspector General for violations of the Hatch Act. It is institutionalized corruption that you are now the face of. And here's what I'm trying to figure out. I just want to know who really runs the energy department. Is it you? Or is it the mega corporations whose stock that you own that you're making profits in?
Oh, my goodness.
Or maybe it's the foreign billionaires who fund your conferences. Let's try something else. Do you know the names of the foreign billionaires who fund the conferences you go to? Since you don't know the stocks, do you know the names of the foreign billionaires?
This is unbelievable to me.
Let me help
Mr.
you.
Mr. Chairman.
One of them is Hans-Urs Weiss, a Swiss billionaire who has used various dark money front groups.
I do not know what you are talking about.
Various dark money front groups to funnel foreign money into American politics. He has used the Berger Action Fund, $20 million, that then sent money to the Fund for a Better Future, that then sent money to the Climate Power Group that has funded conferences you've attended. Do you know who this is? Do you think it's a good idea to attend conferences by foreign billionaires?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know the stocks. You don't know the billionaires. You would take no responsibility. Meanwhile, your energy department, executives in your energy department are trading stocks in companies that they have direct oversight over, and you were too.
That is incorrect. Nobody in the Department of Energy, and we have a strong ethics office, does not trade stocks in anything that they have oversight over.
That is simply not true, Madam Secretary.
Sir,
the Wall Street Journal has reported on this extensively.
If I may, Senator, just ask the question, is it possible that maybe we can continue this at a later time, but if you had any questions on the energy, direct energy policies?
Mr. Chairman, this is directly relevant to institutionalized corruption in the Department of Energy that she oversees. You're, I think, about to say that the Wall Street Journal report's wrong.
The Wall Street Journal report did not say that people over whom they were in areas where they were directly overseeing had stocks. They did not. Our ethics office consults with all of our employees that need to be have a reporting requirement about their stock holdings. They do not own stocks in areas that they have any influence over, nor do I.
Madam Secretary, all I have to say is this record is just deplorable. It is despicable. It is outrageous that hundreds of officers in the Energy Department are trading shares. It is outrageous that you misled us. It is outrageous that you are continuing to mislead us. And it is outrageous you're going to conferences and events funded by foreign billionaires using dark money to try to influence our politics. This has got to change. And frankly, you should go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Josh Hawley with Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm, and she's the woman who's trying to force electric cars down your throat, my throat. She's the one who is laughing at the idea of fossil fuel being shut off.
She got caught.
She got caught, Bill. Josh Hawley said, hey, you swore under oath that you didn't have any stock, and we found some, you know?
Yeah, and she knew that, and, you know, she handled her interview wrong there. I mean, because she got caught, and she verbally reacted in a way that let the cat out of the bag that she's guilty as all hell.
And if you think that Joe Manchin is kind of a moderate conservative, he jumped in at the end. He was the chairman of that committee. He jumped in at the end to kind of mediate. Well, maybe if you have something directly, he was trying to lessen the punches against her, and he was trying to quiet things down. And Josh Hawley was having none of it. And I think he did a masterful job. I think he did a great job because, you know, people say, well, he was tough on her. Well, I mean, if that was a Trump secretary and that Trump secretary was overseeing stock that he had, you know, policies that affected stock that he owned, that's the issue. Some people don't understand. What Hawley was saying was, you're the Secretary of Energy, and you own stock in Ford, okay? What does Ford do? Ford creates automobiles. Ford creates cars that use energy, you know? So if the stock is going to go up on electric cars, and Ford is challenged with making a whole series of electric cars, the hope is that policy is going to increase the profits at Ford, and you're going to make money. Anyway. Yeah.
There's a big scandal, I think, going on, too, with the car industry, but that's probably a discussion for another time. You know, she did bring up the energy thing, and you're talking about electric. You brought that up. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not there yet. We're not even close to being there yet. And, you know, somebody had a debate with me the other day. They were going, well, you know, one thing that we know, fossil fuel will end. Actually, you don't know that. As a matter of fact, now the pundits are out there saying, well, you know what? Actually, there's probably going to be enough around for your lifetime, the next generation's lifetime and the one after that. As a matter of fact, oil is naturally produced by a good old Mother Earth.
I was just
going to
say that.
All the time. I mean, fossil fuel. They call it fossil fuel. But what kind of those came from the dinosaurs. Dinosaurs and plant and sea algae,
Bill,
and
they
enzymes.
They can create synthetic oil.
They don't have to even use synthetic, but you can create oil. The natural process takes a million years. The natural process. But it was one of the threes in the OOs. It was either 2003 or 2013. You can Google it if you want to about oil production. But they actually condensed a million years into 1 hour to make, you know, take, you know, basically plant life, rotten plant life, and turn it into oil. Now, where else can you get oil from? Believe it or not, I hate to go this way, but you hold the key and I hold the key and everybody listening holds the key. Apparently, we produce 128 billion pints of, or liters, excuse me, of human waste a day. And that's like in the United States.
You can make oil from human human waste?
Exactly. Yes, you can. You can make crude and a high-grade crude. So, you know, get off this
I wouldn't
horse.
Say, Bill, it has to be refined. We should point that out to people. It has refined. Don't think
well, I could just back up to the tank and here I go. No, it's not that easy. But, you know, they could modify the reprocessing plants where it all goes and probably extract what they need.
You find the cars running a little rough, Mabel?
tends to backfire, you know, a lot. The dog, come on, shut up.
Anyway, it's one of those days. It was a busy day for hearings yesterday. You know, Mayorkas, the waste of space that they call the Secretary of Homeland Security, he's being impeached. And Marjorie Taylor Greene grilled him yesterday. Listen.
Greene, the gentlelady from Georgia, for 5 minutes of questioning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mayorkas, we do not have a country without a secure border. And we cannot have a safe country. We cannot protect our own democracy without protecting our elections. That is a fact. The open border is the number one issue across America in poll after poll. And that is exactly why this committee impeached you. Mr. Secretary, the Oversight Project released a bombshell report last night on your connection to the dark money NGO industrial complex of illegal immigration. I know you saw this from one of my colleagues just earlier. They found flyers throughout the Resource Center Matamoros refugee camp in Mexico telling illegal aliens, reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open. Eyewitnesses saw the flyers also being handed out to migrants who were using RCM for assistance in coming to the United States. In an audio recording, the founder of RCM, Gabby Zavala, by the way, we maybe should subpoena her to the committee, agreed that they need to help as many people as possible before President Trump gets reelected. RCM is an operation that houses functions for the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which helps migrants enter the United States. And you're familiar with their work. We know that you served as a former board member of this group that funds illegal immigration. And they're very proud of you, Mr. Secretary. They congratulated you on your nomination. You worked as a board member of an NGO that is working in conjunction with other NGOs, which are not only financing the invasion of the country, but also telling illegal aliens to vote in the United States elections. They are telling illegal aliens, non-citizens, to come vote for Joe Biden. That's your boss. This is corruption at the deepest level. As a matter of fact, I would call it treason. It's treason because these people have declared war on our citizens by raping our women, our children, and murdering people. Like Laken Riley, you're familiar with her, right?
Congressman, our heart breaks.
Are you familiar with Laken Riley?
I am familiar with the case.
You should have deported her so that she could be alive today. Her parents would have appreciated that. And also Kayla Hamilton, who was brutally raped and murdered by a cartel member. Her mother came and spoke to us. She didn't deport him either. You let him in the country. You, Mr. Secretary, have allowed over 10 million illegals, probably higher than that, could be closer to 15 million, we don't know, to invade our country. You've allowed the cartels to make billions and billions. As a matter of fact, you're probably the best business partner they could ever have. They make all this money in human trafficking and drug trafficking at our border. You've allowed approximately 300 Americans to be murdered every single day from fentanyl that comes across our border. And now you're aiding NGOs to steal our elections through your budget. I demand proof of citizenship in our elections, and that is something every single member of Congress should care about. We don't need illegal aliens voting in our elections. We're supposed to be here talking about your budget, but we're talking about how money is being used to make sure people come into our country are able to get a Social Security number in which they can register to vote. And on that note, Mr. Mayorkas, I demand that Chuck Schumer holds your impeachment trial in the Senate, because that's exactly what we should be focused on right now. Mr. Chairman, I yield the remainder of my time.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, don't hold your breath, Marjorie, because Chuck Schumer is talking about not having the trial. That would be like a first. But he's filled with first. Chuck Schumer, the rules are made for thee, not for me. That's how he acts. I thought she was magnificent. You know, Bill, I was thinking what they should do for the elections, just a thought, this is for me, is each town, each city should put police officers at the polls. And if somebody tries to vote and they're not a citizen, arrest them, because that's another crime. You know,
Number one, I agree with her. You know, you should be a citizen of the United States and prove that. But here's one step further that they're not talking about, because Joe wants to give away these citizenships, and he can, with the stroke of a pen, make it blanket. Yeah, they're all citizens now, and they vote. You know, if you become
I don't
citizen,
think he can do that, Bo. I don't think with the strike of a pen he has the ability. You know,
he's going to try. He's trying to get them in any way he can. They want to eliminate the fact of being a citizen, but let me finish the point. The point is, okay, they become a citizen. They still don't really understand the United States and the values that it is. I think you have to sit out an election. Just because you come here and become a citizen doesn't mean, oh, you get to vote right away.
There are rules and regulations to become a citizen. You have to go to class. You have courses you have to take. There's a procedure that people have been following for decades.
But they don't want to do that. And that's they want these people to vote right away.
Right,
and
but he hasn't. What they want him to do, Bill, is to vote illegally. They want him to go to the poll and vote illegally. See, they can vote illegally without being citizens, because when I go to the poll, they don't even ask me for an ID anymore.
No, they don't ask anybody for an ID. But we need to make it clear what the rules are, because we've talked about it in the show before, that when you wanted to be a citizen, you did have to go to class, and you did have to know a lot of things, probably a lot more things than, you know, it was taught in school that most of us don't remember, or we remember. But a lot of the young kids, they weren't taught.
Yeah.
You know, what were the 13 original colonies, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. But either way, they didn't know anything about what America, how it came about, and what it's for, and what the cost was. That needs to be brought out to where at least people can see what they're trying to circumnavigate. We need to be, America needs to be woken up.
I do think that if you put policemen at the polls, and if somebody comes in there and they are not somebody, let's say, who's wasn't registered last time around, ask them some questions. Where are you from? How long have you been here? How did you get here? And if they say, well, I came across the border, well, you're not a citizen, are you? No. Well, why are you trying to vote? You know, that's against our laws, too, you know.
Yeah,
are you a serial criminal? Go ahead.
Counting on the police, you know, I look to, what's going on in Denver. The mayor of Denver, what is his name? Mike Johnston. Mm-hmm. He has cut funding to the city's police department by $8 million in order to take care of people who entered the country illegally.
Amazing. These guys should be thrown. Bill, I'll bet you dollars to donuts that George Soros backed that mayor.
Absolutely.
He's a Soros-backed mayor.
Well, you know, look, Soros, You know, he's backing, you know, he's paying for Hamas, the protest. He's paying for the bail for them. He pays for other protesting, yep. You know, the radical groups. He now has bought media. He bought Odyssey, which I believe is CBS.
Yeah.
He's buying Cumulus, which is the other. And I used to work for Cumulus, and they've
Bill,
always
what's going
to
happen
company,
to the, what's going to happen
major markets now?
What's going
to
happen to radio when he controls it? What do you think? The Dan Bongino show, for example, or
it's gone.
Clay and Buck, gone. Right, Buck mm-hmm. Sexton and Clay Travis,
gone.
So you see, you're not going to have conservative talk radio anymore.
You will have the left propaganda, you know, and they'll be paid well to sit there.
I got a question for you. What's to stop him from buying the podcasting outlets like the ones that we're on? And turning us off so that we have no platform anymore.
There's nothing. I mean, you know, everything's got a price. You know, there's a great thing about capitalism and a terrible thing. And the powers that be, you know, they're the ones, you know, it's the guy behind the curtain. You know, it's the big money, the real, as George Carlin used to say, No, we're not talking about the politicians and everything. We're talking about the real owners of the world. It's their planet, and they're taking it. They're taking control of it, and they want you to know who the boss is, and they don't care what they do to disrupt it because it's not going to disrupt them and their agenda. And, you know, if they need to create chaos and hell, well, so be it.
You know, Bill, there's an elitist attitude that these people have. You may not have heard this story, but Katie Couric was on with Bill Maher on his Sunday edition of his podcast. He has a podcast called Club Random. And during the conversation, Couric and Maher discussed the polarization of society and the motivations of Trump supporters. And Couric suggested that the wealth gap in America is wider than ever before, and that has fomented class resentment. She thinks that MAGA people are jealous of the people who have the money, meaning Katie Couric. Now, mind you, if you'll remember, Katie Couric made her whole celebrity was based upon being the average girl next door, cute little Katie. Just she was doing the Today Show, and she was selling herself as being the one of us, just a normal American, right? But that was the furthest thing from the case. She is an elitist, a big-time elitist, and she thinks that people who support Trump are just jealous of the people who have the money. Jealous. Mm. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not jealous of anybody. I have enough to take care of me and my family, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Bill. And, I mean, we'd always like to make a little more, of course. That's part of life. But am I going around looking at Katie Couric and thinking, boy, I wish I had what she had? Hell no. You know? I mean, but this is how she acts. And then John Legend. John Legend goes on Jen Psaki's show. Now, folks, this guy, he plays the piano and sings, okay? He writes some songs. He plays the piano. He sings. That's all. That's what he's known for. But he's an expert. Or so Jen Psaki seems to present him as. Listen.
Well, he is a part of a two-tier system of justice, but not in the way that he thinks he is. Mm-hmm. He is getting way more concessions than the average criminal defendant would get. He's getting delays. He's got access to all kinds of lawyers that are filing this and filing that, delaying every trial. And most people don't have access to that kind of lawyering, don't have access to the kind of concessions that the justice system will provide to you if you can afford it.
If you can afford it. You can catch the rest of my conversation with John.
That's Jen Psaki, and I'm not going to give her any promotional time. That's John Legend, okay? And John Legend, you know, he's a talented guy, but, you know, 150 years ago, he would have been playing in a bar. He would have been playing a piano in a bar, making tips, because there was no media at the time. There was no records. There was no radio. There was nothing, okay? But today, because of the times that he was brought up in, the guy is a multimillionaire. He's lauded. He's praised. There's so much adulation towards this guy because, my God, he's John Legend, okay?
Well, we made him rich, though, you know? And yeah. We've made all these celebrities that are shoving it down our throat rich. Look at Johnny Depp. Now, I don't know his political persuasion. I can
only
guess.
He's a leftist.
Yeah, there you go. He is. I didn't have to guess.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy and the Pirates of the Caribbean, but now he's going to buy, apparently, this historic castle in Italy for 50, or is it 50 or 500 million bucks or something like that?
Unbelievable. These guys have more money than brains. Really?
Yeah, and really, you think about it, okay, he's a good actor, but he got lucky with something, and then it went on, and we got to pay a lot of money to go see this guy.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that anybody that wants to live a certain lifestyle, you go out, you work hard for it, and you get it. But that doesn't give you the...
He was the last... The last time, you may remember this, he said during President Trump's inauguration, when was the last time an actor killed a sitting president? You know, he made a comment like that. Like, he thought it was being funny, but he wasn't really being funny.
Well, yeah, there was the lady that... what was her name? I forget now. Famous woman that did the fake head of Trump, and all that.
Kathy Gifford.
Yeah, that's her. A lot of respect down the tubes for her. You know, but the left is doing something interesting because we see, now we do see, but the news reports it a different way. They report all the attacks and they report everything that the left is doing. And, because Trump bad, they don't talk about the injustice that it's all Democratic-led, Democratic judges. They're rewriting laws and rules to sit there and go after this guy. And, Trump is going, wait a minute, I'm the guy being attacked here. They look at Letitia in New York. She's still going off after that $150 million bond that he secured, going, well, basically what she's saying is, Trump, your money's no good here, no matter where it comes from. We just want to take you down.
Let me ask you a question, Bill. Is there going to be any justice? Let's say hypothetically Trump gets off and he becomes president. Will these people who have fostered these phony scenarios where they had these trumped up charges and things like, will they have to pay a price, or will they just be allowed to go on with their lives? Will the judge...
Well, they should pay a price.
Will Merchan, will Engeron, will James, will Bragg, will all these people get a wave?
Well, would you have believed 4 years ago that the swamp was so deep?
Bill, I would have thought there was a point that they would never go into, they would never go that low. But yet they have proved me wrong.
Okay, so if America stands up and votes them out,
But I mean, should Letitia go to jail for what she said?
Absolutely. Yeah, because they're all liars. I mean, even Fannie.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. And everything that she's done, it's coming out more and more and more and more and more evident, all the corruption going on. Her bed partner that she hired for $700,000 of taxpayer money that she just she didn't have the right to do, but she did.
Nobody got paid that much money, Bill, ever.
look at everything. I mean, I sit here and I wonder, because there's a lot of things that hang in the balance, and one of them became apparent. They were touting the other day that Clarence Thomas was sick for a couple of days, didn't go to a couple of hearings. And then I thought, well, he's 75 years old. Then I thought, boy, you know what? We have a 6-3 majority, conservative majority in the Supreme Court. And you're going, well, that's big. Well, it's fragile. Think about it now. Let's just take Thomas out of the picture. And that means Joe gets to a point. And now that 6-3 becomes a 5-4. And if Joe gets in one more term, he doesn't have to fulfill it, but it's the Democrats' call Now it will go down to, you know, if we lose one more person,
hey,
it would flip.
We forget that 2-3 years ago, they tried to assassinate Kavanaugh. They tried, well, a guy was stopped on his front lawn of his house.
How do you know if he got some kind of virus? He's 75 years old. Anytime you're 50 or older,
oh, you mean,
you're prone to anything.
75, you mean, which one is 75?
Thomas.
Yes.
So I'm saying when you're 50 and above, you're prone to maybe getting, catching a little virus here or there. Who's to say, you know, well, we can't just make it obvious, so we'll make him sick.
You know who's sick, Bill? I think Sotomayor, the Democrat, is sick. She has, and, I think she has diabetes, a very, yeah, very bad case of diabetes. She has to travel with a, is it a physician or with a nurse? A physician's assistant, somebody in the medical profession has to travel with her.
Yeah, they, you know, they want to sit there. And well, they're, the Democrats are saying she should step down so they can appoint another Democrat into that seat.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, this is a Game of Thrones. You know, it's a chess game to sit there and see.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you don't realize how fragile things are in this election.
It is Sotomayor. Yeah. Is it Sotomayor or the other, yeah, lady?
I forget. She's up there, and but she's very ill.
Yeah, Klobuchar. No, anyway, I think it is Sotomayor. Anyway, my friend, a lot of things going on in our world. You know, we talked about Iran threatening Israel. I think that's going to go over poorly. I think Israel is still going to counterattack. I think Israel has just about had it with Iran's administration. Mm-hmm. I think, if anything, Bill, I think that they're going to go after the head of the snake this time. They're not going to go after peripherals, and that's why there's the delay. I think they're going to go after the people that Iranian woman was talking about, the people who are running the government. You know, what I heard during the attack last weekend, I heard someone commenting that nobody has a more embedded and more effective intelligence group than the Mossad, than Israel. They said they're all throughout Iran, and they know exactly who's where and who's doing what. So,
well, I still believe your freedoms are at risk, especially during this coming election. But even if it's not this election, you know, I look at the AOCs out there, and the you know, I don't want to pick on Generation Z, but then again, they weren't taught in school.
No, so, they weren't.
And, you know, when, you know, the Democrats are pushing, well, you know, 82% of gun owners or 82% of the population that owns guns, they're wacko because they're insecure and they're afraid. You just heard the Katie Couric thing. They're jealous. They are building this narrative. I mean, even Biden now, they sit there. This is Joe Biden here humbly asking for anything, you know, to, or is there anything I can say to convince you to make a donation? What if I told you this, that Trump raised $50 million? He's trying to make himself out as we're the big bad MAGA.
Yeah.
And we've got all the money in the world, and he's got all, and even what's his name, happy guy, you just mentioned him.
Bill Maher?
The singer.
Legend. Legend.
Legend, John Legend. You know, he's sitting there trying to say, you know, that Trump's got all the judges and everything. Wait a minute. Who the hell are you trying to convince there?
Because what a joke.
They're all Democrat-appointed judges, and Merchan has got he's got a vested interest in this, and his daughter's involved, too. They're making money off of a crime that wasn't, and they're trying to invent a crime that's not there at the very smallest, and they're not even guilty of this, is a misdemeanor that has outrun the statute of limitations. Stormy has lost in 4 accounts. It never happened. She said it never happened.
Don't you think that these people are so out of touch with what's really going on in the world that's why they're so stupid? I mean, seriously, John Legend, he's like we talked about, he's probably worth a gazillion dollars. He has people who take care of his people, who take care of him. He has probably layer upon layer of insulation between him and the outside world. He's protected everywhere he goes. And they don't know what really is happening out here. All they know is MAGA bad.
Yeah, the greatest thing that ever happened was the creation of this country and your Constitution and your rights. Get the book, read it. It's thin. You can read it probably in the course of an hour, 2 hours at most, and you'll come away with, wait a minute, I didn't know that I had these freedoms. But they're slowly going away. The right to own guns, I mean, the thing that they did about, they were taking away rights from gun shows. Well, those loopholes, they never really existed that they were going after. And the high capacity clips, you know, 9 or less or 10 or less. You know what happened the day that they said this goes into effect? Everybody ran out and bought the high volume clips, you know, because they know. But I would project that, you know, the Supreme Court at some point in time will flip and go all liberal again. And liberalism and freedoms to me is selfishness. It's not what is good for everybody. It's what I want.
You just talked about it. You just talked about Odyssey. We're going to lose free speech. We're going to lose a conversation. We're going to lose two-sided conversation. Because right now, there is two. If you want to talk with a liberal point of view, do a podcast. You can go do a podcast. No one's stopping you from doing a podcast. Go out and do your podcast and say what you feel.
You know how many times I've been told that you and I are crazy and they're going to come and get us? And I'm going, what, you disagree with the show? No, I agree with the show. But, we cower in corners going, we can't, because they've made you cower into a corner in fear that, because they shout you down, they do everything. But I project in the next, you know, maybe within the next year, if things stay Democrat and things flip like the...
We'll lose our platform.
We'll lose, because if they have the Congress, the Senate, the White House, and they get the Supreme Court, you know, the Roe versus Wade will come back. Your guns will go away.
Yeah.
There will probably be, Hillary will get her right to where, you know what, these people on the right, we're going to have to wait votes. Could you imagine like they used to do with ratings?
Oh, sure.
They used to wait them?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they go, MAGA people, just don't get it?
We should explain that to people. There was a time when if you were a minority and you were somebody who had a ratings diary for radio, they gave you credit for multiple people, meaning if you were one person and you had one ratings book to tell, you know, to write down who you're listening to when, the ratings people would then take your book, and because you were a minority, they would multiply it by 4 or 5, whatever, you know, the figure was, give you more credence than the average person. The fairness was gone.
They would pay more for the rating. Now, the reason is that for the minority groups, doing that rating survey was not as important to you. You had bigger fish to fry.
Like feeding your family.
So they did that. That's why they did that, just in defense of it. But it got a little bit out of hand, and then, you know, it became, well, that company's no longer in existence, and it was...
That's true.
It was one of the biggies. But, you know, with that going on, I thought, boy, you know what? When Hillary sat there and said, we need to be re-indoctrinated, that's going to be a big feat. MAGA's pretty big. MAGA, and, you know, I'm not even sure that I like the name MAGA anymore, because it's just Make America Great Again. Well, it was great, but you guys destroyed it. Sorry, not MAGA, but the left.
To capitulate now and to change it to something else would be giving them.
They would think that they won.
Yeah,
but I'm just sitting there going, "What's going on? We've got to speak up. We've got to sit there and vote in mass. We've got to do everything we can, because win or lose is just going to be the speed of death." Yeah, because they have educated a generation of dum-dums, and
something is simple as freedom, and freedom really, our freedom based upon that Constitution was a very simple document. It was a simple thing. You follow these rules, you do this, live this kind of a life, and you'll have a free country. But they've screwed it up. They don't like you having your freedom. You know, it'd be one thing if they said, okay, I don't believe in that kind of freedom. I'm not going to be that way about me. But they don't want that. They want to affect your life. They want to take your freedoms away. You know, they want to take Bill Knight's right to speak, Bill Knight's right to carry a gun.
Exactly.
All those things away. You know, this is how we're living right now. The left doesn't, they don't live a personal life. They want to grab everybody.
What's interesting is they're saying that, you know, gun ownership in the United States needs to go away. But, you know, there was, what, about 2 weeks ago we reported there was a movement out there that illegals have the right to own guns.
Hey.
Wait a minute.
Hey.
We don't and they do?
Yesterday there was a story, a guy in Newport Beach, California, a very wealthy guy. His house was being broken into, and he had guns. And he used them, and I guess he shot the would-be home invaders, and one of them was hurt, and the other guy went outside and committed suicide. I don't know why he did that, but he was obviously not the most stable human being, but he shot one of the guys, and the other guy, I guess he was pinned down, and he figured, well, I'm not going to go to jail, and he shot himself. But the point is, the sheriff of Newport Beach said, hey, if you didn't have your guns, it would have been a whole different situation. Congratulations on saving your family.
In California, you know, they don't want you to own guns.
No.
I mean, my little liberal friends out there go, oh, you don't want to have guns, man. We want to be safe. We want you to get rid of your guns.
Well, don't worry about it. You live in Pennsylvania. Exactly. They want you to not have guns, and you live in Pennsylvania.
They want nobody to have guns, but, you know, the bad guys always have guns because, you know what? The bad guys go by a simple rule. There ain't no stinking rules. We have guns.
That's exactly right. You think
you want to defend yourself? No, you don't need guns. You don't need to defend yourself. Just, you know, I'll leave you alone. Hey, see this gun? It's going to be aimed at you. Give me your money.
How many bad guys register their guns? I mean, how many bad guys have guns that are legally purchased? Come on. Hey.
Oh, yeah. My serial number of my gun, it's on file. I filed it off. You know,
Exactly. Hey, listen, if you want to contact us, our number is, actually, all of our information is on our website, www.itsanotherday.com, www.itsanotherday.com, or www.jimandbill.com. And you'll find our phone number, our email addresses, everything is right there.
Well, you know, I think I got to go clean the gun that I don't own. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm going to go check the files on it. Anyway, until then, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.